Bismillah, walhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Allahumma zidni ilma, Allahumma aftah masami'a qulubina li dhikrik. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open the hearing channels of our hearts to His remembrance. As we continue in the Meccan Qur'an, in the last part of Surah Al-Muzzammil, now we covered the first 19 and they seem to have been revealed around the same time. But the last ayah, which is a long ayah, is a different style. And there is evidence that this was revealed after a whole year, after the rest of the surah. And there are also opinions of our scholars, some of whom have said that this part of this Al-Muzzammil is revealed in Medina. And that's a very different scenario, and we'll come to why that opinion is there also. But analyzing most of the evidence, you know, I won't say it's my opinion, but the majority opinion is that this is a Meccan surah, Meccan ayah, and it was revealed 1 year after the rest of the surah. Because there is a sound hadith from our mother Aisha radiallahu anha about this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept the last part of this ayah, of the surah, to be revealed a whole year later. And during this whole year, the companions with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were praying all night or most of the night, till Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought in taysir, or ease, which is what you will hear. So this ayah starts first. Actually, I'm going to let Fahad read the English translation of this ayah, and then we'll go over it part by part.
Indeed, your Lord knows, O Prophet, that you rise for the prayer nearly two-thirds of the night, and sometimes for half of it or a third of it, and so do a group of those with you. For it is God who has determined the watches of the night and the offices of the day. He knows well that all of you who believe will not be able to endure this. Thus He has absolved you of this obligation, O believers. Now read of the Quran in your night vigils so much as may be easy for you. He knows well that there shall be amongst you those who are ill, and others treading through the land in search of God's bounty, and others fighting in the path of God. So read of it in your prayers so much as may be easy. Yet you shall duly establish the prayer, and you shall give the zakat charity, and thereby lend God a most goodly loan for whatever good you advance for your souls, and you shall thus find in its rewards with God. And the hereafter, yet it shall be far better and much greater in reward. Thus seek, all of you, God's forgiveness. Indeed, God is all-forgiving, mercy-giving.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ يَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ تَقُومُ أَدْنَ مِنْ ثُلَثِ اللَّيْلِ وَنِصْفَهُ وَثُلُثَ وَطَائِفَةٌ مِنَ الَّذِينَ مَعَكَ. That certainly your Lord, addressing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, knows well that you stand in the night in prayer. As we said, they were standing in Qiyamul Layl every night for two-thirds of the night. That's talking about 8-9 hours, or half of the night, maybe 6 hours, or one-third of the night, maybe 3 or 4 hours. And Allah knows that some of your followers who are with you also do the same, standing in worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is revealing this, and He is going to change the status of Qiyamul Layl, which was fard for that first year, to an optional, supergatory, or nafil salah. And it would become a highly recommended salah, but it would not be fard anymore. So there is no sin for not doing it, while it remained a fard for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for his whole life. It was still fard, and that is the opinion of the majority of scholars, that it remained fard for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is also the opinion of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, because elsewhere in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَتَهَجَّدْ بِهِ نَافِلَةً لَكْ. And in the night, فَتَهَجَّدْ بِهِ. تَهَجَّدْ means to deny Hujud means sleep. That you fight sleep, you fight, you deny sleep to stand in salah. Bihi nafila lak. Nafila means extra. Okay. Now, we do salah, we consider it nafil. But he's saying this is extra for you. What does that mean? For most of us, what is the extra salah for? Do you know what the Prophet ﷺ said? That salah is the first thing that's going to be accounted on the Day of Judgment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say for each one, bring your fard salah, bring his fard salah. And anything that is found deficient in it, he missed it, the quality wasn't good, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, does he have any nafila, any extra to compensate for that deficiencies? Okay. So our extra salahs are a compensation for the mistakes we made and for the deficiencies in our salah. Now, how about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? There is no deficiency in his salah. So what is this extra? Means this is extra reward for you. Okay. That you have opportunity for greater reward. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he knows that you are praying two-thirds, one-half, or one-third of the night, and he changes whatever you can with ease and leave it up to us to, and leaves it up to us to decide. So he changes it that you do what you can. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ يُقَدِّرُ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارِ. That Allah is the one who controls the night and day. Allah is the one who lengthens the night and the day. Now we have long nights, and in the summertime we have long days. Allah does this. Now, what is our attitude with that? This is Allah's system. Just to tell you, sometimes people say, oh, long nights, we can sleep a lot. Sometimes it's a long day in the summer, they say, oh, such a long fast. Right? That's our general attitude. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, karama wajh, said about this, I love long nights because I can stand in tahajjud for a long period of time. And I love long days because I can do mujahada and fasting the longest days. The opposite. Now, I'm just trying to present an example of how people saw the same phenomena and how they dealt with it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, عَلِمَ أَن لَن تُحْسُوهُ فَتَابَ عَلَيْكُمْ فَقْرَأُوا مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. That عَلِمَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that you cannot do these calculations standing one third, one half. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has فَتَابَ عَلَيْكُمْ, has turned back to you. As we said, taba means to turn back. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, taba means that he turns to you in mercy and forgiveness. And for us, when we do taba, we ask, we turn to Allah in asking for forgiveness and to rectify our lives and our mistakes. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and Allah has turned to his ibad with his mercy and forgiveness. And he says, so, فَقْرَأُوا مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. So just recite of the Qur'an which is easy for you. Allah has left it for you, made it whatever you find easy. Now, you can take it, well, I'm going to do two rakat and two ayats and that's easy for me. But if you look at some of what our scholars did after all of this, there were people, and it's well recorded, who used to read most of the Qur'an in one night, still, after all of this. And some even completed it as a special karama from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is well known that Uthman radiallahu anhu used to finish the Qur'an in the night without going fast. This was a karama that was given to him out of his love for the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are many other records of other ulama who have been given this. But whatever is easy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us that. Now, after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, عَلِمَ أَن سَيَكُونُ مِنْكُمْ مَرْضَى وَآخَرُونَ يَضْرِبُونَ فِي الْأَرْضَ يَبْتَغُونَ مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَآخَرُونَ يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَقْرَأُوا مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنْ. That Allah knows, أَن سَيَكُونُ مِنْكُمْ مَرْضَى. That soon. Sa is for the near future. That there will be some of you who will be sick. And he's saying, وَآخَرُونَ and there'll be others, يَضْرِبُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ who will literally means who will beat the earth, which means it's an Arabic term, eloquence of traveling. Who will travel the earth? يَبْتَغُونَ مِنْ فَضْلِ الرَّحْمِ to seek their risk in trade and so that Allah knows people will be traveling. This would be difficult. And he says, وَآخَرُونَ and others, يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ who will perform jihad in the path of Allah, who will fight for their deen, who will fight for the protection of their deen, who will fight against oppression, who will fight for the rights of people, who will fight for justice and truth against oppression. Now it is this, you know, that jihad was not mandated till Medina, year and a half after the Hijrah. So that's why some of the scholars, when they say that this ayah talks about jihad fi sabilillah, therefore it must have been revealed in Medina. However, the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha says that it was revealed 1 year after the rest of it. So how does this fit? Because of the sayakun, means this is something that's going to happen. So many of the scholars have said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is prophesizing, telling people what is going to happen in the future and preparing them that a time will come when qital fi sabilillah, jihad fi sabilillah will be mandated for you. So you better prepare for it. Okay? You will travel, you will get sick. Allah is telling you what's going to happen. He's unfolding the future without commanding it here. And there are other things in this ayah which will come, which will tell us of the same thing. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just telling us that this will happen in the future. It wasn't mandated. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving this ease, which is called taysir or concession of ease, is giving us reasons. He doesn't have to give us reasons. Allah could just said, okay, now it's optional. Many places, He just gives a command. He doesn't say, this is the wisdom behind it. In this case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us reasoning that, okay, I am making it easy for you because some people are sick, some people are traveling, some people will be fighting fi sabilillah. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us taysir. And from this ayah, one of the rules of usul of fiqh is derived. There is an axiom in our legislation which is called al-mashaqqa tajlibu taysir. That if somebody is going through hardship, hardship calls for ease. So the scholars have to find ease for this person because our deen is a deen of ease. It's not to make people's lives difficult. Sometimes when we only know a little bit of our deen, we only apply that and make life difficult, so difficult that people leave the deen. Okay? Whereas in our deen, there is ease. But that ease has to be within the sharia. You don't say, okay, I am tired, so my ease is no salah or nothing else. Okay? Within the limits, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us an example of how ease is given. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, recite whatever you can with ease. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us and help you to practice what He wants from us with ease, with resolve, with sincerity, and with persistence. He wants us to do. For example, we hope everyone will start doing tahajjud. Whatever they can with ease, but do it with persistence, not, you know, josh for 2 days and then forget about it. Do what you can, even if it's small, but be persistent in it. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the same ayah, وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَأَقْرِضُوا اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا. Establish prayer. Okay, this is the ayah. But prayer order for the 5 salawat did not come till what event happened in the seerah? The Mi'raj. Which year was the Mi'raj? Which? 11th year of the prophethood, about a year and a half before the Hijrah. Okay, 11th year of prophethood. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again is saying, establish salah. Means establish salah, but not in the format that came later, but you are going to be establishing salah. So right from the beginning, salah was stressed, even though the 5 salawats were not made a fard or an obligation. The prescription, the formal prescription, came later. To tell us the importance of Salah as the rukn or imad or the pillar of deen, that the Salah is something that we can never neglect. This is the most foundational practice of Islam. So without establishing Salah in our life, we cannot aspire for any higher goals. That we, Islam will come and the Khilafah will come and, you know, all Muslims will be united and there'll be justice and there'll be paradise on earth. And yet I don't pray. So these are just dreams for people. Okay? If you don't pray properly and on time, forget about anything else that you're going to build, because this is foundational. So we have to first work on our the Fard Salawat, both as an entity and as a quality. As we mentioned last time, there's not just first we have to fulfill those five salawat, but try and work on the quality, and we will talk about that if we have time. So that the salah, instead of feeling like a burden for us, becomes a joy that we look forward to. You know, we gave examples that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Ju'ilat qurratu 'ayni fi salah," that Allah has made the joy of my life, of my eyes, in salah. And that's where he used to find rest and peace. He said, "Arihna biha ya Bilal," means call the adhan Bilal so we may find raha, peace and tranquility in salah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our salawat such that we also start enjoying our salah and looking forward to it. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Wa atu zakah," and give zakah. And again we know that zakah formally was not mandated till Medina, after the hijrah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us here that give, purify yourself. Zakah means tazkiyah. Zakah means to purify your heart, liberate your heart from excessive love of wealth. Excessive love of wealth brings what? Excesses in our lives. As a result of that greed, we want more, and then crimes are committed for wealth, both individually and as nations, wanting more and more and more, taking over the resources of others unjustly. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right in the beginning, in the first few ayahs, the first few revelations, first few years, has said, start giving. And then not only does he stop at that, he says, and give what he calls qardan hasana. وَأَقْرِضُ اللَّهَ qardan hasana. Now this is an interesting structure. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, give a loan, a beautiful loan to Allah. Who is saying this? Who owns everything? Who is he saying it to? You and me, who he owns. Allah owns us, and he says, and he's given us everything, he says, loan me something. Qardan hasana. What does that tell you? That the owner is asking, give a little extra and consider it a loan to me, because who I am, I will return it to you multiplied manifold. So he's giving us an opportunity to earn more by letting go of what we have, some extra. But it also teaches us the adab of asking. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have commanded, give this, give back what I have given you. Now look at the adab of asking, that he has given everything and yet he says, can you give me a loan back? Now if we give something to someone, how do we ask them back? I gave it to you, you still haven't returned it. How long are you planning to keep it? Right? We have to learn, this is adab. Just remind them gently. Say, can I, is it possible to get my tafsir book back? When you are done with it, if you, you know, unless you already returned it to me. Sister Rubaba is smiling. I'm not asking for it back, you can keep it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, وَمَا تُقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُم مِّن خَيْرٍ تَجِدُوهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ هُوَ خَيْرًا وَأَعْظَمَ أَجْرًا. وَمَا تُقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُم, what you send forward for yourselves, what you send forward, تقدموا لأن, for yourself, not for anyone else. When you are spending money on a poor person, you are spending it not for that person, for yourself. You're not benefiting Allah in any way. You're doing it for yourself. This attitude has to be understood very clearly. That you're not doing ihsan, you're not doing a favor. It is, if a beggar takes your money or somebody deserving of zakat, you should thank them that they enabled you to fulfill a duty for which you will be rewarded. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that if what you send ahead, Allah, if you can imagine that you're going to be moving somewhere to a new house. What do you like to see in that new house? You arrange furniture, you arrange things, you prepare that house, make sure the paint is complete, everything's, make sure it's furnished before I move there, right? Now if you don't do that, and you get there and the house is empty, and everything you had is left in the old house, which cannot be brought up. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, furnish your homes to which you are going to be moving. What is that? In the Akhirah, in Jannah. Furnish them, send forward things for it, ahead of your move. But if you focus on the house that you are living in, remember that it will be left here. Not one speck of dust even from this house will go. Nothing will go. Your clothes, your shoes, everything that you used in this house will be left here. It will not follow you. So that's why we have to realign our priorities and start decorating the permanent home. Send it ahead in preparation for the move, because we will be moving, some sooner, some later. And then he says, تَجِدُوهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. You will find it. What you've sent there, it's not like it's going to be lost somewhere. You will find it. Not only will you find it, أَعْظَمَ أَجْرًا. You will find it multiplied, that Allah would have kept it, and its rewards that are attached to it. He said, I only sent this, but look what I got for it. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is encouraging us in this way to prepare for that move, because we are going to move, because the ayahs before that talked about the skies being torn apart, the mountains being leveled, the day of judgment. Most of us may not live to the day of judgment, but death will, angel of death will come, you know, and it comes all the time. So now you have moved. If you didn't send enough for that, there is no one to blame. Okay. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. In the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, even if you've done all this good, do istighfar. Because there are definitely going to be mistakes, deficiencies. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, after we finish salah, what do we do? First thing, what do we say? Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Why? Because our salah was not up to par of what is befitting the majesty of Allah. There were deficiencies. The attention wasn't there. We made mistakes. So even after doing good, don't think, oh, I gave so much in charity, I gave qardan hasana, I'm doing so good. Do istighfar after doing all of that. You give charity, give istighfar. Ya Allah, if there was some deficiency, forgive me. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends the surah with hope. Inna Allaha ghafurur rahim. We are human beings. We will make mistakes. We will have greed. We will have difficulty parting. We'll have difficulty praying. We'll have difficulty leaving the comfort of our beds to get up for tahajjud. We will struggle. Even for the struggle, Allah will give rewards. And He says, if you do istighfar, if you feel sincerely that you didn't do enough and you wanted to do more, then Allah is Ghafoor al-Rahim, the most merciful. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends this surah with hope and hope and more hope. So as we've reminded ourselves before, we learn the Quran not just to know or to say, oh, I know the tafsir of Surah Al-Muzzammil. That's not what it's all about. It is that what I have studied, I have learned to practice and I've put it in practice. So we learn, the main reason we are sitting here, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward all of you, and the, you know, there is very special things. Anyone who leaves their home seeking ilm, and this is what it is, the angels, the fish in the sea, the ants on the earth, they all do dua of maghfirah for that person. All this is going on in the ghaib, you have no idea. Fish in the oceans, you say, how do they know? Because Allah makes them know that so and so and so and so has stepped out of their house. They got lost finding the place they had to go. For that little discomfort, they felt unease, irritation, I got lost. There are creatures who have been designated, do istighfar and du'af on behalf of this person who is going to learn the deen. And that's why we honor the students of the deen. And I remind you that we have to practice. I am not here to teach you, but I am here to learn for myself so that I can put it in practice for myself. And I hope if Allah enables me to help you to put it in practice, then we've done well. So from this surah, we know the importance of salah, we know the importance of charity, we know the importance of tahajjud. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to practice that and to fall in love with His kalam, with the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us, suffice us with little sleep so that we can get up for part of the night and start to enjoy the Qiyamul Layl, which was practiced by the companions for many, many hours of the night and by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for all of his life. Ameen. So that is the end of Surah Al-Muzzammil. Any comments?